Welcome to the Hammer and Fire podcast. I am Nicholas Kesterson.
And this is Chapman Ted.
And this week we don't have a special guest, so we can get right into what we're talking about, which is, I think, one, and I say this every week, one of the hardest things and one of the biggest struggles that we have. And I'm just like, and I keep thinking to myself, yeah, I'm saying they're all our biggest struggles, but this one is a pretty big stumbling block that a lot of us have. And I think more so as Christians, this is a bigger stumbling block than what it is to might be non-believers, because it's fear. And fear is something that we struggle with. I think it's the reason why the Bible says it 366 times, do not be afraid. One for every day of the month, even a leap year. Or every day of the week, sorry. But you know, it's one of those things that fear is something that I see that a lot of Christians struggle with. Again, when you're talking about someone coming from salvation, somebody coming to God, I don't think fear is as much of a problem. Like, I mean, you understand that you've got a problem. You understand that the only person can help it when you're ready for salvation. You know, there's nothing really scary about asking God to save you. So I don't think fear is as much then. The only thing that might be, and I speak of that in a Christian country, you know, where it's okay to be Christian. Now, I could see how if you lived in a Muslim family or you lived in a Jewish family or something like that, how it could be very frightening to become a Christian because of, you know, you don't want to hurt your family and stuff like that. But I'm talking about it from my experience, which is what I do a lot of here. And I try to see other cultures. I try to involve other cultures. But, you know, I talk from my experience. And in my experience, it was not, if anything, it was praised when you know, my dad was a preacher, went to church. You know, when you decided you wanted to be saved, it was a celebration in my house. So, you know, there was nothing to be afraid of. So when I talk about fear in this, it's going to be more about our fear as we're already saved and we're doing that Christian walk and we're trying to get closer to God. And this is where fear truly takes over. So the first question that we want to talk about is, why is fear a stumbling block? You know, isn't it normal? And I would say that fear is normal. And you know, there's people out there that are afraid of snakes. There's people out there afraid of spiders and all these, they call them irrational fears. I don't know why, because it's very rational to be afraid of a snake. It might bite you, you know, or afraid of heights, you know, you could fall off, you know. So I've never got the irrational fear part of it. But, you know, those fears, and yes, they are normal. But being normal doesn't mean that it's godly. And we see that a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that our society tries to push off as normal. And that doesn't mean that it is a godly way to act. And we talked about the scripture in my head that keeps popping up about this is the one that is about, you know, the sparrow. And, you know, our pastor preached on it Wednesday about not worrying or not being anxious. And how the sparrow just goes about its life. It doesn't put up food for store. It doesn't, you know, the flowers don't worry about being, you know, clothed and all this. And it's, you know, like our fear comes from the worry and worrying about other things. But it becomes a stumbling block because it consumes our mind. It consumes, you know, when we're afraid of something, when we're in fear about something, we really can't think about anything else. We're truly just kind of thinking about, you know, that fear and not wanting to be involved. Another example I think of is like a germaphobe. Like when they're afraid of going and getting sick or germs and all that, you know, it's almost all consuming because there's germs all around them. And when you're in that situation, you're doing that, you're not really focused on God. And then also, it tells us that we're supposed to be faithful. We're not supposed to be afraid. We're supposed to trust the Lord. And if we can't trust the Lord, if we're stuck in fear, you know, we're not getting closer to Him. We're not going in places that we should. And then I think the final thing for me of why fear is a stumbling block is it becomes, we don't share the gospel. We get afraid to share the gospel. We're afraid somebody's going to reject us. We're afraid of looking silly. We're afraid of all sorts of different things, and we don't want to share the scripture. And we don't want to share the good news. And that is the biggest fear that I think that we see as Christians, even as those that have been in the faith for a long time, struggles with, is that fear. Fear of telling people about God. And so, Ted, I'll let you go ahead and elaborate on what you think. You know, where do you see the biggest fears, you know, in your life? And what do you think is kind of some of them, you know, things that really fear takes over and why it's stumbling?
You're talking about fear of, you know, sharing the gospel. And I was thinking, I think we're so stuck in the world, even Christians are on our journey, that I can't think of the scripture right now, but we look foolish to people in the world.
Well, yeah, it's one of them things that I think people don't want to. I think we have too many people on the fence.
Yeah.
There's too many people that they want to be part of the world, but they also want to be part of God.
Yeah.
And they're afraid that if they lean one way or the other, you know, first of all, they lean too far towards the world, you know, they're going to lose God.
Yeah.
But then they don't want to lean all the way to God, because then the people in the world are going to find out that they're godly people. And then they have to explain to those people, first of all, okay, why do you do the things you do if you say you're saved?
Yeah.
You know, they have, you know, those things in their life. And, you know, and I think that's the big reason why it's like that.
Yeah. So I'll read my notes here. Stumbling, fear can be a stumbling block is because it often leads to inaction. When we are consumed by fear, we become paralyzed, unable to take the necessary steps to move forward. This can prevent us from seizing new opportunities and pursuing our passions and ultimately reaching our full potential. Fear can also limit our view of the world, creating a narrow perspective that is clouded by doubt and uncertainty. Instead of embracing challenges and learning from our experiences, we may retreat into our comfort zones. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Missing out on valuable opportunities for growth and development. Fear can impact our mental and emotional well-being, leading to stress, anxiety, and constant state of unease. This can have a detrimental effect on our overall health and happiness, ultimately holding us back from leading fulfilling and meaningful lives. Fear is normal and unavoidable part of the human experience. It is important to recognize when it becomes a stumbling block by acknowledging our fears, understanding their root causes, and taking proactive steps to address them. We can begin to overcome the limitations they impose on us.
Well, I think one thing that as you're sitting there and you were talking about the fear as it being a normal part of life, and it is, and it's like a lot of things that we deal with, that it's not a sin to have fearful thoughts. It's a sin when we let those fearful thoughts dictate our life. So, like, you know, having a fear of snakes, you know, is not a sin. But if your fear of snakes keeps you from, you know, sharing the gospel or getting closer to God, then it becomes a sin. And then also, again, there's a lot of sins that are like that. That, like, the thought itself is not the sin. It's the action behind it.
Yeah. So about me on fear. Yeah, I'm supposed to be a Marine. We're tough. You know, don't fear nothing. But when I was reborn, it felt like I had humbled myself. So my fear was even like, I didn't want to disappoint him. I was afraid I was going to do the wrong thing. I still have that fear of the Lord, you know, that I'm going to say the wrong thing or not do what he wants me to do. But I'll always ask him in prayer, and when I get the feeling to do something from him, then I'll do it. But that's part of our growth. And as we grow, I can tell you this, when my spirituality started being more noticeable, I guess you could say, I was still a little bit timid about it, but I was told by a certain person, and they'll know if they're listening, but they said, head up and shoulders back. I had went through my crushing moment, you know, and God was rebuilding me. So my confidence had been starting to rebuild, and doing a podcast. Who would have ever thought that I'd have been doing a podcast? And then who'd have ever thought that I would be posting homilies on Facebook? I mean, homilies are messages, spiritual messages. I didn't even ever picture myself doing that. But I had to overcome fear, because I had to, you know, do what God called me to do. I still have fear, but I have to overcome it and be more confident.
Well, I think there was a couple points that I got from what you were saying. The one thing that, you know, I wanted to point out is you said that fear of God. And again, there are two different types of fear. There is the fear that we are talking about, which is a fear of afraid. You're afraid of something, you're scared. And then there's fear as in respect. And that is the fear of God is a respect towards God. It's not, a lot of people say, oh, fear of God, that means that you have to be afraid of God. It's not being afraid of him. It is understanding that he is all powerful. He is able to do anything. And yes, if he wanted to, he could smite any one of us down and not even blink, you know. And, you know, that's, so there is the fear there, but that's not the fear that they're really talking about. It's more of a respect of knowing that he can do that and knowing that he's worthy of all praise and he's worthy of everything that we can give him. And that is the type of fear that's talked about there. It's more of a respect. It's like, again, fearing your boss because you know the respect that they, knowing that you're not afraid of them, you know, some people are, but you know, you're not really afraid of them, but you know that they have, you, they are owed respect because they do have a position of power over you. So it's more of that fear, and that is a very different than what we're talking about. What we're talking about is actual fear, afraid, letting it control your life. I think the other thing that you said that, you know, was a good point is, you know, once we've reached that bottom point and we've reached rock bottom to start building ourselves back up, there is a time that you do are rebuilding yourself and you're regaining confidence and you're a babe in Christ and you don't understand God as much. And it becomes harder to talk to people and to tell people about God because you don't truly understand it yet yourself. But then you get to that point that you can hold your head high and, you know, bring your shoulders back and be proud and not pride in the aspect of in ourselves, the pride in God that works through us, that we can have pride in him and what he can do and what he can do through us. And we have to remember that as we are building ourselves back up, we can't stay in that as babes, as babies. We can't just crawl around and suck on our thumb and stay in that state. Because if you stay there, it's just like a baby today. You know, if you just stayed a baby your entire life, you're never able to learn anything. You're never able to grow. You're never able to mature. And, I mean, we can see in the Bible where that had become a problem in some of the New Testament churches where Paul says that you're ready for strong, you should be ready for strong meat, but you're still on, you know, milk. And so, again, that's another thing, like, fear can keep us as infants in Christ, that being afraid of not understanding the scripture, being afraid to put ourselves out there can leave us in a worse position than we were before.
Yeah, that fear, you know, plays into God's plan. It may be that you need to overcome that fear because like if you're an introvert, which me and my wife, woo, introverts, and so if we hadn't stepped up and started talking to people and having Bible studies, and we may not have affected or helped people.
I think you're starting to get to the point that you can't call yourself an introvert anymore, Ted. You're still there, but you're working your way out. You're crawling out. But no, in all honesty, I mean, it's one of those things that we use that label, introvert and extrovert, and we say that, oh, I'm an introvert. We make excuses for ourselves, and we're really bad about it. And yes, there are people that are less talkative that have trouble talking to people. But again, what does that fall back to? Fear. It's you're afraid to talk to people because you're afraid of, in some way or another, you're afraid that something's going to happen when you talk to them. You're either afraid that you're going to say the wrong thing and embarrass yourself, or you're not going to know what to say and all that. I mean, introvertness and extrovertness, I think, is a varying level of control on fear, a control on that aspect of fear. Now, they might have fear in other ways, but that aspect of talking to people and having communications, it's just a level of how comfortable you are. Because I'm telling you, when I was in school, I was just like you. Like before I got out of school and I started, kind of spreading my wings, talking to other people, I was just like you. I didn't talk to a lot of people, I didn't have a lot of friends, I didn't like to talk to people. So I was really kind of an introvert in school. And as you push yourself to quit being an introvert, and you push yourself to make conversation with people, and again, it does help. I was always a talkative kid, I just didn't talk to a lot of people. My parents probably thought I was weird. I talked to myself a lot, but yeah, but so that leads to the most important part, I believe, of our podcast, where we dig into the scripture and what it says. And we kind of have two questions with this time. What does the scripture show us, why fear is a problem? And the second one is those scriptures that help us overcome fear. And Ted, I'll let you go first.
Okay, so one scripture that highlights the problem with fear is found in 2 Timothy's chapter 1, verse 7, which states, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." This verse reminds us that fear is not from God, but rather it is a hindrance to experiencing his power and love. By recognizing fear as a barrier to God's blessings, we can begin to address and overcome it. Identifying the problem with fear, scriptures also offer us tools and strategies for overcoming it. For example, Psalms 23, verse 4 affirms, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This verse serves as a powerful reminder of God's presence and protection in our lives, providing us with the courage and comfort needed to face our fears. Another one is 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, reassures us that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. By focusing on God's perfect love for us, we can find the strength to overcome fear and trust in his divine plan for our lives.
Well, I definitely like, I think Psalms 23 was about the only chapter of the Bible that I had memorized as a kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was just, I loved it. And again, it was so prevalent because it was so meaningful for so many people. I mean, again, God is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. It's just so calming and reassuring of why. And you get to the end, and my cup runneth over, and it just speaks to why we shouldn't fear for anything, why we shouldn't worry about anything or stress about anything, because we know that God is there, and and he's comforting us and he's leading us in the way we need to. And again, it talks about the rod and the staff. And, you know, if you don't know, you know, what those are for, they were for, you know, whipping the behinds of the sheep to get them go in the direction they want. But it says that it comforts me. But again, the idea that God was there, you know, God is there. And yes, he might be giving me consequences for my actions, but it is still a reminder that he still loves me. He's still there for me because he is punishing me, because, you know, and that he still cares about me enough to punish me. It's kind of like that saying that parents said as a kid that this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I always used to think as a kid, like, you're just full of it. Like, there's, but, you know, as I become a parent, I realize that, like, when you truly love someone, you hate having to get on to them, but you know that you have to, or it'll lead them into the wrong place. And then the last one, and it's one of my, I would have to say that that's probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, where it says, perfect love casteth out fear. And it's one I use so many times as I pray, because it's talking about, I look at it, and this is how I read it, is if we love people the way that God wants us to love. You know, you take, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about, you know, faith, hope, you know, and love or charity. The greatest of these is charity, you know, it's love. And you take that and that love for people, what God wanted us to do, to love everybody like he loved them. And when you do that, you can't be afraid of anything, because when you love people, you understand that where they're going, that they're going to, one day they're going to die and they're going to go to one to two places. And if they're not saved, they're going to go to hell. And thinking about how much that is a problem, and knowing how bad of a situation that is, that, you know, you don't want them. You love them so much. You have a love of God that you don't want to see anybody go to hell. And, you know, that perfect love casts out fear. You can't be afraid to tell them about it if you truly love them, if you know where they're going. And it always reminds me of those people that talk about, you know, that said that there's atheists out there that have told them, or people that's came to Christ, and they said that, you know, I might not believe what they believe, but at least those people that are coming to me, those people that are telling me about Jesus, that is telling me where I'm headed, I have respect for them. Because if you believe in what you're preaching, and you believe that everybody that's not saved is going to die and go to hell, that if you're not out there telling people, how much you must hate them if you're not willing to go out there and tell them this is what's coming. Eternal torment is coming, and you don't love them enough to tell them about it. And again, it's not, and I don't think it's hatred for people, but that's what it displays. When you fear, you show that fear is greater than your love, and it's opposite of what the Bible tells us we should be like. But again, that kind of leads to my scriptures, and the one that I chose that is a perfect example to me of the problem with fear is when Peter is going to walk on the water. And in Matthew 14, 29, it says that he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. And it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him up and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, and it's just a great, you know, we talk about, there's two sides to this scripture. There's the side that Peter had such a faith to start that he's like, I can do it. If God has the power that he can, if he says I can do it, I can do it. And he gets out of that boat while the other ones are just sitting there and doubting, and he just gets out and he starts walking on it. And then it's like a lot of times, and I think of new Christians a lot of times with this, is that they're so eager, they're ready to go, but then they get out of that boat and it doesn't go the way they want it to go. And they start looking around, and then they start realizing, oh, I'm talking to people. I'm having to tell them about it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it all now. I need more. I don't know. You know, this person is saying some things that I don't understand, you know. And they start seeing all them storm clouds, all that wind, and then they start sinking. And they let, and they can start to drown. And you know, and that's Jesus talking to them saying, you know, oh, thou of little faith. That must be the second most used scripture in the Bible, probably in the New Testament, definitely, is, oh, thou of little faith. But that is, you know, again, he had fear. He let fear dictate his circumstances. And if it wasn't for Jesus being there, he would have sunk, he would have drowned, and that had been it. And so, again, we have to put fear behind us. And then the one that I wanted to read about that is an encouragement to overcome fear is Lamentations 3:55 through 57. And it says, I call unto my name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I call upon thee, and thou saidest, fear not. You know, and again, it's talking about here in Lamentations from the title means, you know, basically sadness, you know, crying out in sadness. And so he's talking about, I'm at my lowest point. I'm at my lowest point, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get out of here. I don't see a path. I don't see a door. I feel lost. And it says that, you know, he heard his voice and he said, fear not. And, you know, again, and that's just the most comforting way to look at it is when you don't see an escape, God is right there telling you, fear not. I'm here. I have a way. I will never let you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will always be there. I will always give you a way out. And, you know, again, it's just so comforting. And again, there's with that comfort, it takes away that fear. I mean, what do I have to fear? Whom shall I fear? That when I have God on my side, when it tells us that God's never going to leave us or forsake us, that whatever we're going through, that he's going to be there. We should never be afraid of being in a situation. And again, I look back and I think of the New Testament when the disciples and all them are newly after Jesus has ascended and they're going out and spreading the gospel and, you know, they're becoming martyrs. And you see Samson and him in Acts that he stands before the council and he tells them, Stephen. Ooh, Stephen, not Samson. Stephen, too many S's. And you see Stephen, and he's standing before the council, and he just preaches this message. And again, we know that it probably wasn't from him. It was the Spirit speaking through him. But he never had any fear. And then when they were starting to stone him, he never got afraid. He didn't say he ran away. He didn't say he tried to get away. He sat there. He was stoned. And the last thing he does before he dies is he says, forgive them for what they're doing to me. And, you know, and he never had fear. He was ready for it. That's just like you read about some of the Christians that were killed by the Romans and they're in these coliseums and animals are being used to kill them and hot oil is being poured on them and they're getting beat. And then you can read where people, the disciples were going away singing and joyful after getting a beating because they could say that they were, you know, they were beat for Christ. And, you know, again, there was never fear. And it's one of those things that to truly trust God, there isn't fear there. If you truly trust God with all that heart, you know, with all that mind, all that soul, there's nothing to be afraid of. Okay. And so that leads us to question number 3, which is how does Satan use fear to limit the spread of the gospel? And how does it hurt your walk with God? And I'll go ahead, and as Ted is looking at his notes and thinking about it, we'll talk about how I think Satan uses fear to hinder, you know, the spread of the gospel. And that's because we're afraid to share it. I mean, how many times can you look back on your life? And I can do this, and there's so many times. I can still think of today. I think I remember the people I didn't tell more than I remember the people I did tell. And how many chances, how many opportunities I had to tell the people or tell people about God, and I could feel God drawing me to that person, saying, you need to tell them. You need to tell them. You need to tell them. And it just was constant, constant. And I kept fighting it because I was afraid. I didn't know how to talk to him. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to start the conversation. And it was just like, you know, I let that fear, and that's what Satan did. Satan gave me just enough fear to not want to do it. And that person left, you know, I never had that chance again. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I did. These were people that I never had the chance to talk to again. And I look back and I, you know, again, that shame sometimes of that I let Satan win. I let him keep me from planting one more seed. And, you know, and that's how Satan uses fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Satan uses fear to limit the spread of the gospel and ultimately how it hinders our walk with God. Fear is a powerful tool that Satan often uses to discourage us from sharing the good news with others. He instills doubt in our minds, making us question our abilities and worthiness to spread the message of salvation. This fear of rejection or judgment can prevent us from boldly proclaiming the gospel and reaching those who are in need of God's love and redemption. Fear can also paralyze us in our own personal walk with God, and it can also can cause us to question his goodness and faithfulness, leading us to doubt his promises and guidance in our lives. This creates a barrier between us and God, hindering our relationship with him and preventing us from fully experiencing his love and grace. We overcome this fear that Satan uses to limit the spread of the gospel and hurt our walk with God. The answer lies in the leaning on God's strength and trusting in his promises. As it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Relying on God's power and love, we can overcome the fear that Satan tries to instill in us. We can boldly share the gospel with others, knowing that God is with us every step of the way. In our personal walk with God, we can trust in his faithfulness and goodness, knowing that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So Satan has really tried to work on me, you know, beginning of my walk, trying to keep me down low. But I think people need to understand that to overcome fear, I think my personal experience of overcoming fear was not only my past, but also when I started going to church.
Mm-hmm.
When I was around church members that would encourage me, listening to the pastor's messages, because sometimes the pastor has got a message from God that may be for you to prick your heart. And there's been a many of those, and they've helped me and encouraged me to come out and do the things that I'm doing now.
Yeah.
If you think you can live out in the world without the church, that's one of Satan's schemes to keep the gospel hushed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I know that, you know, you're not going to, you know, puff yourself up, but, you know, talking about Ted, and I tell everybody, you know, and I specifically talk to people, I'm like, Ted is a great example of what that anybody can put themselves out there and change, you know, how they are and change their fear. I mean, like I said, Ted, and if you're watching these podcasts, you have noticed as time has went on, he's gotten so much, you know, more open and more, you know, talking about it and, you know, where he's come from. And I think he's a great example of that. You can start out being an introvert. You can start out not being somebody that wants to talk or who thinks they can talk, and that you can put yourself out there, that you can do it. It just takes trusting God, and it takes, you know, pushing yourself, putting yourself out there. And I think part of our problem too is as Christians is we get in this idea and this habit of saying, well, they want to use the scripture of Paul where it says, well, not everybody can be hands, not everybody can be feet, but they fail to remember he's not talking about sharing the gospel. He's talking about spiritual gifts and things within the church and pastors and deacons and you know, people mowing the yard and stuff like that. But when we're talking about spreading the gospel, everybody is supposed to be doing that. You know, it's not just your pastor. It's not just missionaries. It's not the people that you call extroverts in your church. That is everybody's job. And the Bible tells us that it's our job to go out and spread the good news. That when Jesus left and said, go into all the world, he wasn't talking to just his disciples. He wasn't just talking to one or two people. He was talking to everybody. And I think we get so comfortable sitting in our seats, being seat warmers on Sundays and Wednesdays, that we don't go out the rest of the time and do what we're supposed to do. Church is supposed to be a charging station. I've always used this analogy that church is supposed to be a place you come to recharge after you have spent the entire week out in the world trying to win souls for God. And it's something that I see as a Christian community we fail so much as. Yeah. That church becomes our... Too many churches are trying to make church a, well, that's how we're going to spread the gospel, is we got to get people to church. And then we're going to preach, you're going to preach about it. But that wasn't the intent of the church. The intent of the church was to be a community of people going out on their own to share the gospel. And I think so many times that's not what church becomes. And we don't recharge. We don't talk to people. We don't fellowship with people and say ideas and, you know, oh, hey, how did you this week? How did you reach somebody? Or are, you know, you're out in the world, you know, what's the, you know,
what's that scripture where Jesus sent the disciples out two by two?
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's a prime example.
There. Yeah, yeah, like he sent them out and he sent them out two by two to go into all these places and to preach to all these people. And that he said, don't take anything with you. Don't take any clothes. Don't take any shoes. Don't take anything. He said,
faith.
Yeah. Faith in not fearing and not being afraid. And I think we too often are so afraid to that if we go, and you know, and I think one of our biggest problems, why we're so afraid, is because we don't know our scripture good enough that we're afraid that somebody's going to ask a question we can't answer. I think that's the biggest stumbling block we have, is that we don't know the scripture enough that we're afraid somebody's going to throw something in our face and we're not going to have an answer and we're going to look stupid. And again, that falls back to pride. But, you know, what does the Bible tell us? The Bible says he told them that when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about what you're going to do. That the Holy Spirit is going to do that. And it says when Peter gave the sermon on the day of Pentecost, that it didn't say that Peter gave that sermon. It says that the Holy Spirit spoke through Peter. Peter wasn't this great speaker. He hadn't been practicing it. If anything, you could see how the disciples were almost, you know, tentative when they were in going out, that they were a little bit worried about what they were saying and what they were doing, that they didn't know what to say. But then in this moment that Peter gives one of the greatest sermons of all time. And it wasn't because of him. It was because of the Holy Spirit. And people have to quit being afraid of what am I going to say? They have to trust the Lord that he's going to tell them what to say. Because God is not going to send you out there to spread the gospel and let you screw up. I mean, and if he does, it's a learning point because you went out there too confidently. But he's wanting you to win people to him. Yeah. So he's going to give you the words to speak if you let him.
I think, like we've touched on before, people are afraid to go out and spread the gospel because they don't know the scriptures very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and my wife, we're always reading scripture together, or she's reading hers by herself, or you have to spend time in the Word. And then being around a community of believers, like me and you, we're always talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors even joked about when we went to men's conference that we had our own Bible.
Well, you know, what time did we go to bed that night? I mean, midnight, 1 o'clock, I mean, just having discussion.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, coming to Bible study, you know, that helps you, you know, build up your confidence. Like those things that we're doing in Bible study now, you know, asking questions, and that helps mm-hmm. you speak. Has done wonders with some of us. Yeah, we'll talk.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, we have to quit just being content with, you know, like being where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, like again, what does the Bible says? It says, "I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm."
Yeah.
You know, you can't be on the fence. You know, yeah. And it's just like you got to be on fire, yeah. or you're going to be cold. And yeah. being lukewarm is the scariest place to be.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't realize, that being lukewarm means that you're not all the way in. Yeah. And if you're not all the way in, when your time comes.
Well, like Pastor preached about the parable of the vineyard, outside the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta work on it.
Yeah. You can't be the vine might grow on the fence, but it does a lot better when it's inside the fence.
Exactly. You gotta get all you can get.
Okay.
That was funny that my wife talked about that phone call.
Yeah.
And they was wanting to come by the house, and it's like, nope, we're at church. Nope, not that day. We're at church. No, mm-hmm. we're at church.
Yeah. Yeah. We got something. You know?
Yeah.
But that's part of it, is having a relationship and wanting to get closer to God.
Yeah.
And that leaves a question for Ed. I hope you've had enough time to think about it. And the reason it's kind of hard is it is a question that it's hard to research for because it's a personal experience. And the question is, what is a time that you let fear dictate your life? What is a time that you overcame fear? And which made you feel closer to God? And I think a lot of times we could probably answer the last question without giving any.
Yeah, the last two I think I got pretty good. But the first one,
I know. I'll give you a little bit more time because I'll talk about mine. You know, I really didn't know what I was going to say here either, but
oh, really?
I think the problem that we're having is with pride, we're open about it. With addiction, we're open about it. I think fear has become one of the things that we just don't want to talk about because it admits weakness, and it's so hard sometimes to admit that we're afraid of something.
Back to that weakness of we're afraid somebody's going to use that against you.
Well, so mine, I would have to say, is I talked about the fear of not telling people, and that was bad enough. But I think the biggest one that I deal with and I've dealt with for so long is afraid to go back to church was one of mine. I let it for so long dictate my fear of going back after I had gotten away and I had been in the place that I'd been. I had done the things that I had done. And I felt like if I go back to church, I'm gonna have to tell somebody why. I'm gonna have to explain why I left, why I wasn't there, the place that I had been, where I had come from. And for so long, I let that dictate not going to church. I let that fear allow me to stay in that place that I was in. And it wasn't getting any better. I was still doing the things that I was doing. I would still had, the lustful thoughts and the drinking and the cussing and all that. And it was getting worse and worse and worse. And I was letting Satan continue to use that fear against me to keep me from not going to church. And so I let it dictate my life for so long. I would say probably for about 5 or 6 years, it dictated my life the entire time. And then a time that I'd say that was a time that you overcame fear. There's been a lot of times I would say in my life that I've overcame fear on a simple level. I got over my fear of heights, or I got over my fear of this or that. But just specifically talking about my walk, it was finally overcoming my fear of this. Being open about my sin, being open about what I did and what I'm struggling with, what I'm going through, because it is so hard sometimes to open up about those things, to tell people, yes, I deal with lust. Yes, I dealt with drinking, because it was one of those things in my life that was ingrained in me. We don't tell anybody about what's going on at home. We don't tell anybody about our sin and what's going on, because again, you're supposed to be perfect. Again, being a preacher's kid, you're supposed to be perfect. You're a reflection of your father. You're a reflection of him and his ministry, and you're supposed to be perfect. And you can't tell anybody that you did this. You can't tell anybody that you had done drugs, or you can't tell anybody, and so you struggled alone. And I think overcoming that fear was probably the biggest fear that I overcame, was finally saying, I'm afraid to open up. I'm afraid to let people use my shortcomings against me, but I can't let it continue to eat me up. And I can't let somebody else suffer when I might have a solution for them. I might know how to help them, and I cannot let it continue to hold me back. And I think that's and I mean, of course, that last question, I mean, between those two things, what do you think made me feel better? And it's honestly the amount of stress that just flies off of you, that you don't have to hold on to anymore when you are open about it and you're able to say, I'm a screw up. God help me quit being a screw up. God is helping me quit being a screw up. And you other screw ups out there, here's a way that you can get over it. And I'm here. You can talk to me. I relate to you on the level of screw up. And we can, get over that and through Christ and be better Christians because of it. And so since you had some extra time, you can talk about
Oh yes.
yours.
So, what is the time that you let your fear dictate your life? After hearing you, if I go back, I can think about, my addiction, my alcohol, and my PTSD. I could go again. The alcohol was my medication. So I was medicating myself with alcohol, because of my fears of, being out, being in public, or, I was just and part of that introvert anxiety, the nervousness, the stress, the, That was
PTSD.
That was that. I think that pretty well sums that up. What is the time that you overcame fear? Well, where should we start? Decided to come to church. Sat on the back row. Still had fear, shame. About 2 months. Decided to move to the front row. Woo! What a big step. And everybody noticed it too, it seemed like. So then, as listening to the preacher preach, I was sitting at home one night reading, and he told me, he said, "It's time your testimony." I was like, "Whoa!" And I even spoke to the pastor, and he told me, "God leads you." And so that's what I did, and I don't remember. I think it took me about a month or two to write my testimony. And I took it to pastor, and he read it. And it was kind of like they were going to, you know, didn't tell me when I was going to do it. But, boy, you talking about, oh, and I was so nervous. And I don't remember how long he made me wait. And then he told me I'm going to do it such and such date. And there was a few people that came up and did their testimonies, and then I think I was the last one that did mine. Oh man! But I did it. I overcame it. That's what the Lord wanted me to do. And then from then on, you know, each step I had to overcome a certain fear. Doing Bible studies in front of people. Oh wow!
Yeah.
And then I think the I don't know if it would be the funniest or the scariest one was pastor decides to tell me that he's going to be out of town and he wanted me to do a Wednesday night Bible study. You remember that?
Yeah.
I was like, I think at least he gave me a couple of weeks to get ready for that. And I was nervous. I overcame that fear with the help of the Lord.
I think sometimes, like, having 2 weeks notice is scarier than just keeping it sprung on you.
So, and then, you know, I was on fire, still on fire for God. And then, you know, I didn't go to college. I didn't, you know. I'm a grunt, you know, Marine Corps, raw. So, I mean, when I decided, well, I had a pulling to do something in the ministry, and I told the pastor, I said, I think chaplaincy, and I talked to him about it, and he said, "We'll pray on it," and I prayed, and I read up on it, and man, why am I going to be able to do this? I mean, I had no college education and stuff, so going through the courses and things like that, that was another fear that I overcome with the Lord. I mean, every step I've made has been with my Heavenly Father.
And man, that's the only way. And that, again, leads to our final question on how do we learn to trust God and expel fear? And we have hit on it basically the entire time. Basically, all our other answers led to this one. But, you know, again, it's just trusting him. It's understanding that he wants what's best for you. I mean, there's scripture after scripture after scripture that tells us that he loves us. He wants what's best for us. He wants to do what's best for us. And, you know, and you just have to trust him. And there's no step-by-step that we can tell you how to trust him. I mean, it's either you trust him or you don't. It's just like a person. You either trust your friend or you don't. And just like with your friend, how do you build trust with your friend? And that's building a relationship. And that's, again, why we're doing this, is why we're making this, so that you know how to build a relationship, to build a firm foundation to which to serve God. And again, I mean, I can sit here and tell you, you know, and I don't even have it all figured out. I don't trust God every time. I still worry about things. I worry a lot less. I mean, I don't have near the worry I did. I had worried to the point, I mean, that I was afraid of health reasons. It was going to hurt me. And, you know, and he has really taken it away. But again, it comes down to trusting him, knowing he says he's never going to leave me or forsake me. He says that he's doing all things are working together for the good of those that love him, you know. And so it's one of those things that you just have to trust him. You just have to jump off. And I mean, I did a thought of the day talking about this, you know, talking about how, an impala, an African impala,
oh, yeah,
that they can jump. They can jump 10 feet in the air. They can jump outwards of 10 yards in one leap. But you can put them in a 3-foot fence and they won't jump over it, because if they cannot see where their feet's going to land, they're not going to do it. You know? And that's, I mean, how many of us as Christians are like that? That Satan has a 3-foot fence built out there, and we're just a bunch of African impalas, and we're afraid of where our feet's going to land. And instead of trusting God and entrusting that he's going to put us where he wants us, put us where he needs us, and that our feet are going to land on solid ground, we just would rather sit where we're at, be happy and comfortable where we're at, but not getting any closer to God, not doing any more for his kingdom. Again, we should be doing everything we can. And again, I always say this, you shouldn't have to have a reason to do it. But again, God tells us that we have a crown waiting in heaven, and how many jewels and how many things we have in that crown is up to us and our dedication and our praising and worshiping and going out and telling people. And again, it always reminds me of that thing where it says, you know, how amazing is it going to be that day if somebody comes up to us and tells us, I'm here because of you, because you told me about Jesus. You know, you didn't save me, but, you know, Jesus saved me, but you told me that if you wouldn't have told me, if you wouldn't have talked to me, I wouldn't be here today. And to me, that would be enough. I mean, money has become less of an issue for me. I mean, I still want money, but, you know, like, the thing is, you know, the crown doesn't, that does nothing for me. Like, you got me a crown. Yeah, that's going to be nice. But just to have somebody come up and say that, you know, because you talked to me before, because you told me about Jesus, you know, that's why I came to God. And that'll mean so much more to me than a crown. But again, coming to a close, like every week, we want to remind you, if you're looking for a church home in the Clarksville, Arkansas area, and this is a wonderful church. It is a church that wants to see the best done for you. They're like a family. We just help each other. And, you know, Wednesday night, starting at 6:30 for prayer, 7 o'clock for Bible study, children's church. And we have Sunday at 9:20 for prayer and 10 o'clock for service. And then we have our Bible study on Saturdays, starting at 5 o'clock. It's a great opportunity to come here and try to get out of your shell. Mm-hmm. And
it's done some good. I mean, I'm noticing some folks that, you know, the study and, you know, the question thing is getting people to open up more and speak mm-hmm. more.
And to be, you know, and to talk more. And it's a great thing. And just go back, watch some of these episodes. If this is the first one you've watched, there's there's 9 other steps that you need to go back and you need to watch. You need to learn about, because you can't just start here. You know, you can't just start at fear. You know, maybe that is your first stumbling block you have to overcome, but you know, there are some other things that you got at salvation, you know, and baptism and all that you have to get there too. So if this is your first time joining, you know, go back, listen to the other ones. And as we've been doing, Ted, I want you to go ahead and dismiss us in prayer.
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for this time to spend with folks and help them to overcome their fears and help them with their journey with you. And if there's anyone out there that is still having to overcome fears or addictions, that you'll have your hand over them for their healing and comfort. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.